All right, thank you everyone who moved and gave some space. We can now start the next talk. Jos is going to talk about using NixOS at NLNet.
Hello everyone. So, yes, my name is Jos van den Oever. I'm an employee at NLNet. NLNet is a Dutch foundation. And who here has heard of NLNet, by the way? Are there any hands down? Wow, this is amazing. That's very cool. Yeah, so it's an honor to work at NLNet, and this talk is going to be about how we use NixOS there. There were so many hands. NLNet is the organization which here at FOSSA might be known for, you know, spamming stickers everywhere. We have the stand in the K building with so many stickers, and each of these stickers here is a project we have supported. But not all of the projects that we have supported have a sticker because, you know, command line tools might not have a logo all the time. As you can see, NixOS is up there as well, many other projects. I'm wondering, who here has ever had funding from NLNet? See, that's less hands. But we have funding for open source projects. So if you have good ideas, if you're part of a community that has these tenacious bugs that nobody is coming around to help fund to fix, or if you have a protocol which has not been implemented in your particular library, or whatever good idea you have, just look on our website what other projects we've been funding, and you know, write your own proposal. Proposals for writing to NLNet are not difficult to do. It's one form. You say who you are, you say what your plan is, what the outcome is, what it's going to cost, or what you think it's going to cost, and then you press send. And every 2 months, there's a new call. So this is the tagline that we use since this week, actually. we have a PR person now, and she says the message should be simple, it should be clear, and it should be to the point. And so she tried to fit it into one line. We fund those who contribute to the open internet, you know, because that's what it's all about. Why are you here at FOSDEM? And we're just very happy that we can help there. So what do we mean when we talk about the open internet? Well, we should be able to communicate directly, right? Get rid of big tech, which is in between our communications. No dependencies, no lock-in, just get the source, compile it yourself, and that way we can have a good democracy. We can be independent and not have to be living in fear that some service is going to be taken away from us, because, you know, we can run it ourselves. So self-hosting is a thing that we very much promote. Yeah, free software, free society, and this logo here, Next Generation Internet, is the thing that makes me standing here, because that's the fund by the European Union that is providing over 90% of the funding that NLNet is able to give out. We have been given out money for decades now, but we were always a very minor operation until the EC decided that, you know, there's so much software in this world, we're running on it, we're depending on it, we should, you know, also be the owner of it and invest in it. So that's what the EC is doing now. And we are one of the facilitators that, you know, seek out the right projects that are to be supported. So we fund open software, hardware, standards, documentation. When you submit a proposal to us, it has to be something that you can deliver, that you can, you know, git push, or you can publish somewhere. Not for example, server maintenance for that, or having a meeting. For that, you have to go elsewhere. We like to, you know, we like to check what the money is being spent on. And that's also what we have to report to the people that give us the money, so, which we will mostly be doing. So we try to keep the bureaucracy very low. Yeah, self-hosting. So self-hosting, of course, means system administration. Who here likes system administration? 50-50. Yeah. So yeah, it doesn't always go well with system administration. You're in the basement in some organizations. In NLNet, we're only small, so I get to sit with the other people. It's not all that bad. And once a year, you know, you have system administration appreciation day, which is awesome, right? if people remember it, and you know, if they're not on holiday, because it happens to be in the middle of summer. So, yeah, not everything's perfect. Okay, how do you use Nixos in a small organization? That's what this talk's about. And at Anonymous, we are currently 10 employees. When I started, we were 4, so we're growing. Also, when we started, we were running a bunch of different systems with backups sometimes, no commits of the configuration, so no history of what was running. It was our mail, for example, was running on a BSD system with ZFS, so it had snapshots. That was pretty good. And our requirements are really not that crazy. I mean, we need mail, website, telephone, you would think. But then if you drill down, there's quite a lot of stuff that you need to keep running, actually. So here's what we have that is open source and which is not free and open source software. So our website, obviously, it's run by Nginx. Our email server is self-hosted, mailing lists. We have our own CodeForge. Well, what makes us tick, our grant management system, that is, you know, running using open source components and chat, video, microblogging since a short while. We are also hosting it ourselves, but not everything. For example, our router, which we could do, of course, we haven't gotten around to that. Printer, open hardware for printers, that's not worth it right now. We have some people using Apple devices, so it's not completely open there either. BIOSes and chips. I mean, we support people designing chips. We're not yet at the stage that we can also dog food those. But we have quite some components that we do ourselves. So when we choose a system to get rid of the whole collection that we had before, what options are there? Well, there's Nixos, there's Geeks. We could go to a closed cloud, but obviously that would be very bad for our image. Or we could go to an open cloud hoster, which there are more and more of those now. But we said, well, we are funding projects. Projects are sending us their code. It would be great if we could also try to, you know, keep our knowledge about all these systems up. So let's try to do it all ourselves. And then Nixos has quite a lot of advantages, also some disadvantages. But the declarative part is, it takes some getting used to, and but it's really useful, right? It's just nice static files. It's mostly reproducible, and mostly it's mean 99.99% for the stuff that we use, at least. There are extremely many packages, as you've seen in the talks just before now. You can mix versions of stuff. I'll show you a bit later how we actually need to do that. The Nix language, well, there's a lot of discussion always about it, but personally, I really like it. So it's, you have to get it, but then it's great. So it's familiar to us because before we decided to switch all the systems to it, we were already using it on our laptops. So that's a bias over there. The flake lock is very important to us because, you know, we can lock down the dependencies. And we can be sure that whenever we update, it's a conscious choice to do so. Proprietary packages are packaged, but they're disabled by default. So we don't have to worry that by accident we are starting to depend on closed software. Yeah, there are some downsides as well from our perspective. So the community is organized on a proprietary system. A lot of open source projects these days are. And yeah, we really promote self-hosting. So if a project is self-hosting, that's a plus in our book. Another thing, not everything is as polished as it could be. I'll show you that we are using an officially unstable feature. So yeah, and there's no storage handling. And what that means, I'll get back to that as well. So there are a lot of green flags there. Full disclosure, Nixos is a partner with us. When people get funded at Anelnet, they also get services. So they get free packaging, and Nixos is providing that. So we are a bit prejudiced when choosing Nixos. For me, Nixos, I was using it a long time, but I always found it very difficult to write the packages until one day I had to explain to a colleague of mine how these files work. And I was sitting there, and suddenly it clicked that, yeah, everything is a function. I mean, it's called a purely functional packaging pattern, but still, somehow it didn't click. But then I had to explain it to him, what are these brackets at the top with the colons? And yeah, that's the arguments to the function, and the rest of the file is what comes out of the function. There are many Nix developers who are thinking, wow, this is a newbie here. But and I feel a bit embarrassed to say it, but you know, it's once that clicks, it's really a very nice system, because it's like JSONNet or Haskell, other pure functional languages. It's very predictable in what it does once you get it to do what you want. So is it just Nix? Is that enough? You could. How do you deploy it on many systems? So there was a talk by Solène Rapin a few years ago on all the possible options that there are to deploy Nixos to a number of systems. So it's a whole list here, and in her talk she explained what the pros and cons of each of these systems were, and that was very, very helpful to us. So that's why I wanted to highlight it here. That was really amazing work that she did, and in the end what we chose is to keep it simple and do everything with Nixos rebuild. So, and that just comes, you know, that's the basic command that everybody's using when you're using Nixos. And it turns out you can just manage your servers with that. So all of our systems are defined in one Git repository. They're all defined in one flake.nix file. Each machine has a configuration Nix, hard configuration.nix, but there are a lot of placeholders there for stuff that we import from another directory where most of the services are configured. And we try to keep the simple readable for everyone. We use a JSON file that has sort of the structure of our setup in there, and then that's imported and readable as variables further on in the system. So if you do a Nix flake show, and the flakes are the not yet completely stable part of Nix that we are using, then you will see Nix configurations has five servers in our case. And what we do to deploy that is we type Nixos rebuild, switch, and then we say, here is the flake for this server, and it should go to that server. So that's how our deployment system works. It's just built into Nix. And this is our machines JSON, so it tells us what should be the IP number for the different machines, what name server should it talk to, where are the secrets. Secrets management is really done by rsync by us, so we just, when the machine reboots, we don't store the secrets in the Nix store, we just copy them into the /run directory with rsync. And here's the flake. So we are mixing an old version of Nix packages, because we haven't completely switched yet, I'll explain later why, with Nixos, the current Nixos, I mean, you can just do that. You can put it together. And so these are the inputs. And then here is the function that defines the outputs where these things are coming in. And this is then a very simplified version of how we define each of our machines. So we have a function called makeSystem, which takes the host name and a definition. And we define our systems by looping that function over all the machine definitions. It's a bit more complicated because it has to know which imports to use on which machines. But this is sort of the magic that makes us able to just use Nixos rebuild. Now, when you're setting up your system, this is the thing I think is most important, is the alerts. You know, the computer has to do stuff automatically for you, and you would like to make sure that it continues to do so even while you're sleeping or while you're giving a talk at FOSDEM. So I'm very happy that this box in my mail folder has not had any unread messages for a very long time now. So that's great. Our alert board is green very much of the time. We have a very particular alert here, which is called the Nixos flake committed. So if somebody doesn't deploy without committing first, it gets read, because then it's undocumented what our system is doing. This was a zoom in, but I think it was good enough to read. Yeah, so backups, that's the second most important thing for your system. We use Borg for backups and Better Backup to do snapshots every hour. And here's a small point of critique for Nixos, or actually a feature which is not really there at the moment. When you when you do anything with software, and it also needs data, you have to say where the data is. And everything is declared in Nix, except the folders have to be written by hand, or they are set by defaults in the services. So doing backups, there's no enforcement that there is a backup or an easy way to do the backup. In the setup of your backup system, you have to repeat all the directories again, or you define them at a top level, and then you use the variables for those directories at the top level. This is a thing that might be a bit more polished. It's an opportunity for new system, new extension. So mail. Who here is hosting their own mail? Wow, that's not enough. That's not enough. We need more people hosting their own mail. It's so important, you know. It's still the backup of all. It's the backbone of all your communication. It's email. So we really want to self-host. We were self-hosting. So when we're setting up a new system, it would feel like a defeat to stop doing that. So we continue doing that. And Nixos has a project which is called Simple Nixos Mail Server, which ties together Dovecot, Postfix, LDAP, and RSpMD together. It didn't used to tie up LDAP, but we needed that, so we paid a contractor to add this support and upstream it. So that's what we're using right now. However, we're announced, so we're funding a lot of projects. We're also funding Stalwart. That's a simpler, all-included Rust implementation of a mail server. And we're also supporting Mox. That's a Go implementation of a mail server. And we're soon going to try out Stalwart on a less important mail domain of ours. Yeah, and then you get these wonderful 100% scores. If you fiddle around long enough, well, actually, we didn't have to fiddle that long because the Simple Nixos mail server really, you know, configures your mail properly. And this wonderful website, internet.nl, is what you can use to, you know, check if actually your mail server is configured correctly. One highlight of Nixos that we really value is the testing. So to test two computers working together is made very easy in Nixos because there are Python scripts that you can call, and you set up both computers and you tell them how to talk to each other and what the expected outcome is. And all of these scripts, many of these scripts, are just part of Nix packages. So you can read how these systems, how this testing is done, and for your own setup you can also write those scripts. And that's great. And we run that in CI via flake checks. Well, sometimes something can go wrong. You don't have to be a genius to see what's going wrong here. We are sending the configuration of server 1 to server 2. And this is where the system that we saw earlier comes in handy, how to fix your booting, because this really killed deployment one time. So when I say we keep our system simple and we try not to build on top of stuff, here we decided that would it be a good idea to make a small alias script that only takes one argument, so you don't confuse the two servers with each other anymore. We recovered from this in 5 minutes, so it wasn't that bad, but I did get a big fright. How do we do updates? I'm just putting this command here. It's not that interesting, but I just want to have it documented somewhere because it's a bit long. But we have a number of inputs to our flakes, and if you want to update just one input, which is often something that we need to do, for example, when one of our software packages updates that we write ourselves, then you can do only that flake input with this command. So conclusions. Yeah, we like to keep it simple. We just use the basic tools of Nixos. And we put most of the configuration, or we try to move as much as we can, into JSON files so that it's easier to read. So technically, Nixos is really great for NLNet. However, for the average office, it's probably, you know, quite complicated to do this. So I think there's an opportunity here for open cloud providers to use a system like this and make it more user-friendly. And in fact, there is a project currently called NGI Fediversity, where the EU is funding us to help create a new hosting stack that will be using Nix. And that has just started. We are in the planning phase for this. So if you're interested, look it up. There will be... or talk to that guy over there. That's waving. So we, but we, yeah, we, this will be probably a talk next year on FOSDEM.
Absolutely.
And with that, I'm done, and I'm open for questions or tips, because there are many people who are more expert than I am.
Thank you. Do we have any questions?
Hello, thank you very much. I'm just wondering, you said that you are syncing your secrets to run directory, like why you are not using like Nginx or SOPs for that, which will do it for you and you don't need to do it manually.
So the reason we're not doing that is there were so many options which made me confused, and then also some of them were putting the keys encrypted, but nevertheless in the Nginx store, and I just felt more comfortable doing it with rsync. That's the whole explanation for it.
Hi, you said something about Nginx not being aware of storage locations. I didn't really understand that. Could you kind of explain that a bit more of what's...
Yes, so Nginx defines where all of your software is coming from and how to compile it, and it puts it all in the Nginx store. But of course the software is interacting with data, and there's no sort of, you know, a type or a class which defines where the storage is. So you could say, I'm doing backup now, just backup all of my systems. Or if you pass a directory into a service, that directory is an object which has been defined elsewhere, as it needs to be in the file system, it needs to be, the file system needs to have, you know, a type of file system, it needs to be mounted. All of those things are something that you have to take care of. And because Nginx is declarative, you know, once you hammer it down, it's fine. But it would be great if at compile time you get an error for that.
Any other question?
There's a question in the back.
I just wanted to react to the storage location thing because it's interesting. So in XOS there is a problem, which is you want to declare things, you want to be declarative, but when you deploy a software often comes with automatic migrations. So they proceed to the operation on your state, on your files, at every new deployment, and this breaks the rollback system, because if you roll back to a previous version, you don't roll back the data, you just roll back the configuration.
Yes.
And what could be done here is that the NixOS modules themselves could learn about where the state is, what does it mean to backup an application, what is dependency in the PostgreSQL database or whatever, and it would start to provide a solution for the problem you're mentioning.
Yes, exactly. Databases are a whole extra level of complexity and possible data corruption. Yeah.
I think we can take one last question.
Yep.
Hi, thanks for the talk. I might have missed it because I joined a little bit later, but in the configuration, like, do you have a way that you are happy to pass secrets?
Yes, so the way we pass secrets is we have a top-level JSON file, and there we declare all our secrets. So for root, it needs these secrets. So WireGuard needs a private key, the mail needs a password. So these are files that have to be under /run/root.
And when the Nginx evaluates it, they are stored, where do they get?
So Nginx doesn't do anything with that. It just writes in the configuration where that file is supposed to be. And then when the machine starts, some services will say, hey, I'm missing my password. So I copy in the rsync the password in there, mm-hmm. and then I restart that service. But that doesn't happen very often. We are a fairly small office, so we don't have 100 machines. So automating it more seemed like complexity and overkill for our situation.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.